When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it.
On WGR.
This is open material. That's all I can say.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm boycotting Ohio.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Welcome back into another Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley. Reunited, and it feels so good. But yes. What's happened since we were gone from being a duo? Well, the Sabres have all but fully collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
No, they've fully collapsed.
Yes.
No, hang on. No, they haven't. Because even despite everything, the sicko in me has to make sure to mention...
Something positive?
Not even something positive.
Is there anything?
I mean, the number is growing. It's six. 6 points out of a playoff spot.
Okay.
But you are also tied for last place in the entire conference. Hey, I've got good news, though. Here's your optimism.
Okay.
The Predators broke their 8-game losing streak last night.
Hmm.
Or the other night, excuse me.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
It's possible.
You could do it. The Predators, who are one of three teams worse than Buffalo this year.
I mean, it's got to break at some point.
Oh, excuse me, four. Sorry, Montreal still is in sole last place.
Oh.
26 points, though, for Buffalo.
You know what Montreal did this season? Beat the Sabres.
Oh, why? Hang on. You're saying like that's hard to do, though.
No, it's not hard to do, clearly, because they're on an 8-game spiral. I don't know if I'm more upset about that or the whole boneless wing thing. It still kind of eats at me.
Oh, no. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because later on, during a certain segment, I have to laugh at the state of Ohio again.
Really?
Yes. And we'll get to more of that.
I do have the ruling.
Yes, that's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay, I'll keep it in front of me.
Yeah, I wanted that as a tab for later on today.
Okay.
Sports Talk Saturday, though, here. Derek Kramer and Joe Calley. The Sabres, they play hockey tonight. I'm not ready.
They skate?
I'm not ready. Physically, I'm ready. But, like...
I mentally, it's tough for me to watch.
But here's the big thing. Ready? We have to.
No, we do.
Inherently, there is a part of our job, it is our duty, to watch them play hockey.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we need a little military march in the background of that. Like, in the back of that. You know?
Oh, my God. but, yeah, the people here in this building, we have to watch these games.
Yes, we do.
And we do have a responsibility. You know, of trying to keep things as balanced as possible.
Tame. Can't go off the rails.
Like I said, as possible.
Yeah.
When
what, you know, possible, like you said, when possible.
If and when possible.
When does that go off the rails completely? 10 games? 12?
Like, quite honestly, I think it's going to be the number. The number between where you are and where playoff spot number two is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's currently six. That's three games.
Okay.
The problem is you also have to vault seven other teams.
Yeah, because it's...
To get to it.
It's tight in that area right now.
Everyone's around.
Mm-hmm.
And the real problem that the Sabres had was The Sabres have ruined my opening banks. We actually started talking about sports today.
Yeah, we did.
This is cheese and crackers.
Yes. Well, the whole pre-show, we were just airing grievances.
Yes, we were kind of going.
Yeah, so
we were already going. And it's like,
we can't stop now.
I don't have the bant today because everything fell off the rails this week.
Yeah, and like you said, the last time we hosted this together, there was some positivity. Like there were some positive things to talk about.
The last time we were in these chairs together, the Sabres were in a playoff spot.
They were in a playoff spot.
That is wild to consider that 2 weeks and change has done this.
That's how it always goes, though. They're either a point out or they're in a right.
But even a week
can make
collapse,
that difference.
Before the collapse, they were in third and a game out of second of the Atlantic Division.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were in front of everyone. Like everything that I talked about, the teams that you have to jump, they were in front of all of them.
Yeah. And now they're behind them all.
Except for Toronto and Florida. And now you are chasing everybody again. And you have the Boston Bruins with their disgusting minus 23 goal differential. They get their teeth kicked in Winnipeg. They lose in great fashion to, like, I think it was the Wild or something. And it's like, okay, cool. You're the guys that are in third place. You're in third place. You're in third place again, Boston. Why Boston? Why has it always got to be Boston?
It's always Boston. Without fail, it's Boston.
Brian Koziel and I are kicking ourselves on a yearly basis because we each keep thinking, this is the year Boston's finally going to go down, right? Nope. They don't ever have this problem. Why do they never have this problem? Why do we have to have this problem? We're the ones that have the problem. Why are we the ones that have the problem? Y'all had Tom Brady. Back off.
Yeah, it's
legitimately,
it's not fun.
Stop it.
It's not good.
Quickly, I would be less mad if like somehow the Detroit Red Wings figured it out. Or Tampa was in third place and Boston fell into the wild card mix like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Boston. It's Boston. Why has it always got to be Boston?
So I don't know. I don't know about you. I'm a fan of the. I do like the another hockey show. I'll say that, and I do tune in because I'm not the biggest original hockey fan. I'm kind of not jumping on a bandwagon because clearly we don't have a bandwagon in Buffalo to jump on, but. Ryan Whitney tweets out on December 3rd, imagine being a Sabres fan. These poor, another word. Just year after year, disaster after disaster, the Bills need to win. This city needs something. And I'm like, while I agree the Bills need to win, I think I'm focusing on the Sabres part of that
it
tweet.
It doesn't help the soul Sabres fans.
No.
Whoever you poor, unfortunate souls are.
Yeah, because Buffalo, if you look at the demographics.
Like if you hate football, this place is hell for you.
It is, because that's all it's been for the past few years now. But the Sabres, I think Buffalo is more of a hockey town than people actually give it credit for.
It has the potential
because
we've shown it.
Yes, because honestly.
Up until 2011, it was dubbed hockey heaven.
It was, and now it's.
Hell.
Hockey hell?
Yes.
Is that what we call this now?
No, we can call it that. Welcome to hell. Your punishment is watching the Sabres.
Yeah.
The same thing that you were saving yourselves with 4 years. And we have very rarely in this city seen both of these teams be good. You know what? That's
They're never
real.
At the same time.
No, it's very rarely at the same time. Mm-hmm. Definitely before you were alive.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
Very much before I was alive, yes. And they were good into the Bills playoff drought
for
those
few
years.
This. When were you born?
2002.
I hate my life.
So I was like, the last time the Sabres were good, I was 5. I was not ingesting hockey games on TV. I was watching, I don't know, Handy Manny or something like that on Disney. I don't know, like something. But
but this speaks to something that's an even greater problem. There's an entire generation. Now there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Yours and the one right after yours now
the
that
alpha.
Is growing up.
Gen Alpha, baby.
The Gen Alphas. You guys don't know what the Buffalo Sabres being good feels like.
No. The closest thing is going to a Bandits game in Banditland. Like, knowing how that arena would feel, you know?
And nothing against the Bandits and nothing against the National Lacrosse League.
It's not the same as the NHL.
But that trophy ain't the Stanley Cup.
No.
The hardest trophy to win in all of sports.
Yeah.
And there's no feeling like looking at the dang thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone the players grabbing it and cheering with it.
Yeah. Or drinking out of it, you know, kissing
and
it.
And Sabres fans don't ultimately know that pleasure either.
No.
But they do know about teams that have competed for it.
they do know teams that have been legitimate threats for it. Mm-hmm. Like the Bills right now with the Lombardi Trophy. We don't know how it actually feels.
There is no...
But we know how damn good it feels to have a contender.
Exactly. A contender, how, a contender would be fine.
And a different torture of a sort that you have a contender that is falling short. But...
It's better to be there than not at all.
But we talk to our therapists about that pain, okay?
Yeah, that's separate.
Don't bottle it in. Do not bottle it in. Let it out! Also, let it out. 803-0550 is the number.
Yes.
We are your de facto psychiatrist today.
We want to hear it all.
When it comes to the Bills and the Sabres, what a hell of a week it was.
Yeah, because the Bills did lose, too. I know that's rare.
Bills lost, and it was in an incredible fashion. We're going to get more into that as well.
It was incredible fashion.
Zach Pankew texts me.
Oh, God.
Hockey, a sport where 40-year-olds can very easily be matching up against 18-year-old kids.
Pretty much.
Legitimately.
Sidney Crosby, anybody? And any prospect?
Hang on, he's not that old yet.
No.
Don't make me get a cane.
How old is Crosby?
37.
He's getting there.
He's getting there. But Craig Anderson played last year in his 40s.
Oh, that's right.
So you're right.
The number on his jersey was the same as his age.
He played Connor Bedard.
Yes, you're right.
Like he played 18-year-old Connor Bedard.
Zach Benson, was he on the same team?
Yes, he was, actually.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Yes.
So I don't want to, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a 40-year-old playing with an 18-year-old on the
same team, yeah. And Owen Power, because he was still on the team for Owen Power, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't 40 yet when he came on the roster.
He's 39?
Yes. I'm nearing that age. I got to count every positive that I can, okay?
I'm just, yeah.
When it gets real, it's different, okay? So, back to it, though, where the Sabres are this team that you want to love. That's the biggest problem. Ready? We want to love watching the Sabres. We want to. Everyone here wants to. Yes, the palm trees and the apathy and all this other stuff and Sabres Twitter being an incredibly
hostile place.
Depending on where you are with it. Depending on who you follow.
Mm-hmm. I think I follow Sabres, the hostile.
Yeah, you might be.
Yeah.
Because Sabres Twitter also has a lot of people that it's the best parts of the misery.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you've got Chad or Anthony from Expected Buffalo or Eddie, those guys, they're great. Kevin. Mm-hmm. NT Ryder, like, he's great. Like, there are people on there that they are the right follows. They are the right follows to help get everyone through the pain
together.
It's
not all doom and gloom. Yeah.
It's not all doom and gloom. It's an appropriate amount of doom and gloom. There are times...
Well, because it is very justified at this point.
But the problem is now the Sabres are beating Chad down. And then I'm going to take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Chad has had enough, too. And Chad's trying. He is trying. And it's not like he's trying to carry water for them. He's trying to use the numbers and the analytics to show why we can believe or why they can be better. And now they're breaking him. So, but again, there are certain pockets, though, of Sabres Twitter where it's like, it's actually some of the greatest parts of the misery.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure you're following the right people. I'd like to say, like, when I'm watching these games, I'm pretty much in the same boat of, like, I'd like to try to at least make people feel better about it. There's the Expected Buffalo Discord. I drop memes now at the lowest points.
That's the way to do it. Got to find something bright to look at.
Got to find
this point,
something.
Right?
At this
it's too far.
And the problem is that we want to love them, and we're taking the energy that we have for the Sabres as a community, and we're putting it towards the misery.
People talking about them is still
tough.
It's tough, but also, those are fans expressing things about their team.
You want to.
Like, you want that to happen.
And
good or bad, they're showing some sort of a, you know,
and
love for the team. They care.
One of the things is, last week I did this. Last week I was like, hey, you're mad. There's a Sabres game this afternoon. We've got 1 hour. Get your calls in.
Mm-hmm. We've got a good solid 245 now.
We've got 3 hours today, but I'm not expecting the same energy today. Why? Because the Sabres lost two more games since then.
Yeah.
They've lost two more since then. And we're lucky it was only two because the schedule dictated it.
It's absolute insanity.
Because they lost on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
that very afternoon.
You don't...
And then they lost on, what was it, Monday? Yeah, it was Monday.
Monday.
And they haven't played since.
And the worst thing is, they're leading at some point in every one of these games almost.
Almost everyone.
Almost.
But they've been shut out twice.
They've been shut out twice. But almost every single one of these games you can look back at and say, hey, you should have had that one.
And the Rangers, they were trailing in as well. So that's three. That's three games that they were never leading in.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. A lot of these have been collapses.
Yes.
And
at home.
Ugh.
At home. In KeyBank Center, your home ice.
One thing I'm never going to be able to get the explanation of this core of Sabres over the last few seasons is, why are you so bad at home?
They go out on the West Coast, and you can expect some of the best hockey they'll play, truthfully. Or maybe not this season. But historically, the West Coast trips have been some of their best hockey.
Yes. And if you take the Europe games away.
Yeah, that was...
They lost one home game and one away game. You take those games away, here are your raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres on the road, 5-4-1 outside of Europe. Because I really think the setup that they had was bad. They did not get to play any NHL talent, and they had to go and play an exhibition game against Munich Red Bull, and it was a poor setup for them.
Yeah.
The Devils did not have the similar setup, so like they were more primed.
They were ready to go. Mm-hmm.
New Jersey's also become one of the best teams in hockey this year.
Yeah.
So there is that too, but still.
The Sabres
at home? 6-8-3.
Yeah, that's terrible.
How? How do you do it? And the last time we co-hosted the show, they were among the hottest in hockey.
They were.
They were 7-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, 2-5-3.
Yeah.
Is their last 10.
Bleh. Speaking of tonight's game, though.
Which also is, they lost 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Immediately after we were together.
that'll do it.
Eight, so you're not allowed to be away from the show.
No, I guess I have to sit here. But Sabres PR.
I will tell every one of our bosses, for the Sabres' sake, we got to get the band back together.
We got to keep it rolling every week.
Because if they win tonight against Washington, of all teams,
mm-hmm.
it's us.
Yes.
We have to stick together.
Well, speaking of that game against Washington, the Sabres PR tweeted out they've earned at least 1 point in 8 consecutive games against the Capitals, 4-0-4. Their current point streak against Washington is their longest since they've earned at least 1 point in 22 straight games against the Capitals from November 11, 1978 to November 16, 1984. Interesting. Interesting.
There's a number.
18-0-4.
There's a 4 in the last 8 games mm-hmm. that needs to increase today.
Yeah.
It's not the second one.
No.
I don't care what it takes. Get a win tonight.
Yeah.
Get a win tonight. Please.
They have to snap the 8-game losing streak. If it hits 9-10 games, it's going to be interesting.
I'll tell you right now, it's not going to get past 12.
No?
You want to know why?
Why?
Because Toronto comes to Buffalo at some point.
Right.
And Toronto going to Buffalo, even though fans pack it like... Ready? Here's the genius of it. Fans pack it like a road game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Because Toronto fans show up.
So they're playing...
But... If you look at Toronto's record against the Sabres in Buffalo, it is hilariously bad. It is
terrible.
Actually funny.
Mm-hmm. That's why if any Maple Leafs fans try and say anything to any Buffalo fans, no matter what the record is, you can't.
They can't win in Buffalo.
No.
For some reason.
It's a curse.
I've met their radio broadcaster, the legendary Joe Bowen. Mm-hmm. He calls it the House of Horrors. And it's not untrue for Toronto fans.
It's just funny because... The Sabres, it's almost like a house of horrors at any other point because they can't win at home.
Yeah. But then Toronto comes
here. They lose a 4-0 lead in regulation.
And consistently one of the best teams in the NHL over the last 5 seasons. They can come in here and can't beat the Sabres.
Yes. Aside from...
And nobody can understand it.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And then they play him again. The 20th in Toronto. At Toronto.
Now here's something though. Ready? I'm not gonna kick too much about Toronto because here's something that there's an interesting wrinkle about. There are Bills and Maple Leafs fans, and that crossover is very much, there's a heavy one. There are a lot of Maple Leafs fans that would cheer for the Bills. They're the closest NFL team to them.
Yeah, and the Bills did have a stint in Toronto as well.
Bills in Toronto series. Mm-hmm. But also they have fans that come here for games.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of Canadian fans come here for the games.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, man, the pain that these two teams are delivering those kinds of people is generational. You can't get past a specific playoff round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the same punch getting hit twice a year.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs are normally the first-round exit.
But at least Toronto makes the playoffs. At least Buffalo is a contender.
Right. Would you have that over I mean, I would have that over this. I'd have getting punched out in the first round consistently over this.
At some point, it gets old.
Well, yeah. We feel that with the Bills.
Yes.
The divisional round gets
old. Quite literally, I could feel for Maple Leafs fans because in a different sport, we're there.
Yeah. But also, it's better than a 13-year playoff drought where
exactly.
you have nothing going for you right now
yeah.
other than an 8-game losing streak.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's... So, like I said, I'm not going to pile in on Toronto Maple Leafs fans
no.
because it's just... It's just interesting that stat with them. It's fascinating where I don't know what they like. I don't know what it is about them. The dynamic
mm-hmm.
between like the Leafs and playing in Buffalo that is so disastrous for them. But it is. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to get in here today. As we ended up...
Come lay on the couch. Tell us everything you want.
We accidentally started on the Sabres today. This wasn't even my idea,
no.
everyone. Like I know I typically like to start with Sabres anytime I have Saturdays because I like talking about hockey and I want to talk about this team when they're good.
I'm sorry, I got you going.
Just get another job then, Derek. There's no way you could talk about a hockey team being good in Buffalo.
No, we wanted to start with the Bills.
What the hell is that like?
A little more positive.
What the hell is that like? I need to talk to other like radio hosts and be like, what's it like talking about a hockey team that doesn't stink? I genuinely would love to know.
Text anyone in Boston. Because the Bruins somehow still do it.
Yeah, we'll talk with like our company brethren in the Odyssey umbrella
in
Boston.
We'll get Paul Bissonnette. We'll get him. Somehow. We got him.
It would just be the question of, what's it like talking about a hockey team that doesn't make you feel miserable having to watch them? It's already a job, yes, but like
it makes it more of a job when you have nothing.
I work in this industry to try to have fun
because
I know the other side of the curtain, like working in other industries and how miserable it can be. Like, so for any one of you that watches these games and it's out of passion, like I know it's so... My misery, I know, is so much worse for you out there.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem I'm having, is that we take in entertainment to be entertained, not
to be
miserable.
Are you not entertained?
No.
I'm not.
Bleep no.
I'd rather watch the mediocre Gladiator 2 again compared to the first one. It's
especially in this day and age
flat.
When there's so much that you can do with your entertainment.
At the tip of your fingers. You can watch
yes.
anything on your phone.
Anything.
And I find myself, this might sound really bad, okay? Mm-hmm. As we found out last week, I do like to sports bet.
Yes.
I find myself sometimes live same game parlay on a Sabres collapse at home. And I cash. And I know that's terrible of me, but you got to respect the trend.
Look, you're gaming it. And that's...
Yes.
That's... You know how they say, please bet responsibly?
That's responsible betting. Look at the trends. I'm not a degenerate. You follow it.
I don't do parlays. I do. From Sunday.
Yes.
That was still great.
Mm-hmm.
You were on one on Sunday.
I know. Well, because I had a lot of hype that the Bills would roll through the Rams and go on to Detroit.
No, you said it was a trap game. Don't.
Well, you got me going. You got me all excited, and then I left the trap
game. I get people going. I'm sorry. I did the same thing this year with this freaking Sabres team.
You're right, though.
The idea of the Buffalo Sabres is much better than the actual Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah,
the idea that I pitch about the Buffalo Sabres. Put me in an elevator about the Buffalo Sabres. We can make a GD movie about it.
I think.
That's a Disney film right there, the Buffalo Sabres, in my head. How the Buffalo Sabres are supposed to be, according to Derek Kramer.
That could be a good indie film.
It would be great because they win.
Yeah, it's like, whatchamacallit. I think it needs to be studied, psychology, toxic relationships. I think you can learn a lot
that
from Sabres fans.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal. And we're not here just to rain
the
on the parade of the
no.
Sabres because the Bills play tomorrow too, and it's against Detroit.
Possible Super Bowl matchup preview.
It's a possible Super Bowl matchup preview, but also at the same time, the Bills come into this game after getting kicked in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked in the teeth.
And injury-wise defense, too. It could be interesting.
Rasul Douglas is out for this game. That's
DeMar,
a big
questionable.
Deal.
Taylor Rapp, questionable.
And Douglas was injury tacked on to insult.
Yeah.
He had one of his worst games as a Bill.
Yeah,
it was probably his worst game as a Bill, not even one of.
Yep.
Like, that might be the worst game as a Bill for him because I don't know any other time that he was bad. Rasul Douglas came to Buffalo and he was a gem, and he never let off after that. So that's there too. And we will get connected to our fans real quick before we go to break, and that's brought to you, as always, by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Tony. Tony, welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Well, first of all, you're very entertaining and informative, so I appreciate you. I'm close to 80 years old, and I've seen everything in my life with the Bills. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bills this week have a disrupted schedule for practice because of the storms, traveling from the West Coast, etc. How in the world are they going to implement a game plan against the best team in football? That's the first part. The second part is, why are they 2.5 points underdog in this game? They should be like a 10-point underdog. They are not going to beat Detroit. I'll tell you that straight out. I didn't think they were going to beat the Rams because I just didn't think they were prepared for the game. What about preparation? Doesn't that count in football anymore?
Tony, I got to ask, man. Like, we've been miserable about the Sabres, my guy, not the Bills.
Listen, I was with him on the
you were with him
the
on the Rams about the trap game because they are a talented football team.
Yes, and I think people underestimate the Rams.
And Tony, I'm going to answer that very, very bluntly about how you say how do they have a chance against the Lions? They have Josh Allen.
Yeah, and the Lions have Jared Goff.
It's simple as they have Josh Allen. So let's get into that.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
Let's unpack
on that. We'll talk more about the Bills in a moment here as we continue on WGR.
They are high effort as they come. Obviously one of the top scoring defenses in the league. We're not playing their offense on our side of the ball, but they do such a good job over there of holding on to the football and scoring points. It's a really, really well-coached team. They've battled with a lot of injuries throughout the season on that defensive side, and you wouldn't know why by watching the film because, again, they know the rules. They attack each and every play, and we got to be ready for them.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about a very talented Detroit Lions defense.
They are very talented.
That they will be taking on tomorrow afternoon, 4:25 kickoff. And you get pregame starting right here at 11 a.m. on WGR. I'm excited for this game, actually.
I am too.
Even though some of the luster was lost because the Bills lost this last week and in a very concerning fashion, so to say. But at the same time, there was something very encouraging out of it. And it was this. The Bills' offense showed me they are not only more than capable of getting themselves out of a jam, but the defense has to play as imperfect as it does, and the special teams has to surrender points in order for you to lose to lose a game with Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like the Baltimore and the Houston losses, you saw the quarterback effectively not be good enough. Against Baltimore, he was bad. Against Houston, he was worse.
He was like 9 for 30.
9 for 30 in Houston.
Yeah.
And including those three straight passes. Calling three straight passes was perfectly fine. And McDermott saying it and like everyone being able to lip read him, we should be going for the first down.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Allen was strictly taking moonshots.
Yeah, he was trying to get down the field.
He was trying to get down the field and make a difference when the first thing you need to do is get a first down and not allow Houston the opportunity to get the ball back. That is the responsibility of every two-minute drill. Immediately. The first thing you have to do is ensure that the defense is not going to be forced back out there with a situation where you have to avoid surrendering points.
I look at Detroit. I have a lot of respect for Dan Campbell.
He's been great.
He's been phenomenal.
The best thing he's done, though, is figure out the staff that he can delegate.
Exactly. And he's got a great coaching staff. Defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. Like, those two guys have dialed in those teams. Look at Jared Goff every week, minus the 5-pick week.
They still won.
They still won that game.
They still won that game.
Because their defense came through.
I mean, Houston has kind of tailed off since Buffalo.
Well, they also collapsed in the second half really bad. They can't hold. They're like the Sabres. They can't hold on to a lead if they have one. But I look at this game and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough win, but it's not out of reach. I think these two teams are going to play each other pretty hard. It's all about matchups, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're expecting this to be a tough matchup. I think the Rams kind of was trappy. This I don't think is trappy. You know what you're
doing. You know what you're doing. You know exactly what you're looking at right now, which is the best team in football.
Right. And with your secondary a little banged up.
Things could get interesting.
Could get interesting.
We'll talk about the secondary in a bit. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the secondary in particular in a bit. But for me, it is. We started off that first segment. We kind of rifled off the misery that we were dealing with the Sabres. But one of the things that we're also supposed to do in these chairs, Joe, that I feel like we should be doing in these chairs,
mm-hmm.
is to try to help connect with the people. Connect with the fans, try to help them through their misery of it. Or at least I think that that's something we should be doing.
Yeah, make them feel heard.
Make them feel heard, but also make them feel better. Like, if the Sabres stink, yes, I have to agree with you that the Sabres objectively stink. But, like, how can I help? Like, with the Bills. The Bills lose one football game.
The world's on fire all of a sudden.
Man, I got to tell you, it was great being on the morning show this week. Because I was able to drive in and go, they're still 10-3. And they had to play one of the worst games defensively and have special teams make a major gaffe.
Just to lose by 2 points.
Just to lose by 2 points.
Because
Josh Allen's
Joshua
awesome.
Patrick Allen.
He's awesome.
Put the cape on.
And so I do feel like it is, I don't know if it's our responsibility, but I personally feel like I like to do that. I like to help people through things.
No, because we're all feeling the same
including
thing.
Including how bad the Sabres are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. You tell us your problems today, and we'll hear you out, and we'll let you know what's up. 803-0550 is the number to call. As we get connected to our fans, as always, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Dan in Lancaster. Dan, how are you doing today?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
First, yeah, of course.
Calling you. I was wrapping some Christmas gifts, and I was listening to you guys about the Sabres and how bad they've played.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I wanted to talk about is I think the Bills are making a big mistake. Great season. They're doing awesome. I actually think they're going to beat Detroit this week.
Okay.
They can't play any worse on defense. Those were two great receivers. Stafford won a Super Bowl. He was my favorite quarterback before Mahomes and Josh Allen were drafted. So it didn't surprise me what they did. I think they're making a big mistake not playing Dorian Williams, even if it was 10% of the time, like maybe on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, try to put him in there with like 3 linebackers, something, mix it up a little bit because he was running around like a missile, 6th in the league in tackles. And I just think Milano is not, I think Dorian Williams at this point is better than Milano. Maybe not at the stop in the pass with tight ends and that, but I just think, how can you not put Dorian Williams on the field? I just wanted your take on that. And just real quick about the Sabres, I was listening to you guys. I got so fed up with their bad play because I'm more of a Sabres fan than Bills, diehard Sabres. I'd say around 2013, I got so fed up with their bad play. You got to have the high package with your DirecTV in order to watch Sabres, unlike my antenna where you can watch all the Bills games pretty much. I canceled my DirecTV and pretended like I had a cable bill for the last decade. And because of that, I deposited every month. I got so fed up with the Sabres. I got like $15,000 in a bank account because of their bad play. I got so fed up with them. But anyways, that was just a little thing I was laughing about when you guys were talking how bad they've been playing. I just listen to them on the radio now. But my main thing is Dorian Williams. Why isn't he playing a little bit? Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Dan. And I'll let you know right now why. They're breaking in Milano as fast as they can for the playoffs.
They got to get him to shake the rust off a little bit. He's been out for a considerable amount of time.
And there's a lot of rust. He has not played in more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it was a broken leg and now a bicep tear. So mm-hmm. two injuries that are tough to come back from.
He is going to have a lot of rust right now. And they're basically saying, hey, sink or swim, this is effectively your quote-unquote preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You need live reps and you need all of them.
Because the division's locked up. You have a playoff spot.
You have a home playoff game no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The question now is, who are you going to play? Because let's be real about something. Let's be real about something, everyone. I've been saying this for weeks. I hate that I'm right, but I've been saying this for weeks. The one seed was a pipe dream. Kansas City has an infinite bag of magic pixie dust that I hope gets discarded by the time the playoffs start. It seems like it is their mandate of heaven to have the one seed this year. I'm sorry to say that, but it needs to be said. I don't know why it's happening, but the rest of the league has refused to follow the script that I wrote to get the Bills the one seed.
Yeah.
They are not cooperating. The Chiefs even doinked in a field goal against the Chargers to put themselves up a couple games. Frustrating.
Yeah, that the Bills two-point win, like that's insane.
The Bills
again
finally lose a game, and the Chiefs go, we're going to create some separation by doinking a field goal in against the Chargers. Like, the Chiefs put themselves in a jam every week, and they get themselves out of a jam every week. The Bills made sure that they weren't put in jam position. That was my favorite thing about the season, was they made sure that the Chiefs did not have a chance to even grab their bag of pixie dust.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's break glass in case of emergency only anyway. That's the only way they're allowed to use it, is if it's a one-possession game, late, and they need magic. The Bills made sure that that was not even a requirement. Because I'll tell you right now, had they not converted that 4th-and-2, we all know how that story ends.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. We already know how that ends.
You're right.
Yeah, no, the Dorian Williams thing, like,
as much as I he's been great. Like, he did,
he's,
I mean,
he's kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah. Milano kind of gives you another edge, like he mentioned, the pass protection, right?
The pass coverage is something
that is absolutely there. Milano gives you that Dorian Williams doesn't. And like you said, you can't expect him to be Matt Milano All-Pro right out the gate after not playing for almost an entire season.
Also, the middle, like it's just, also the middle of the field was not your problem. It was those two parameter receivers.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm hoping we see more positive progress from Milano here against Detroit and going forward here. But he does need to look better, though. Let's be real. He does need to show a little bit more of that progress. Show me some of those Matt Milano plays that you make. And that'll help ease some concerns from a guy like Dan. You know, like, I understand where he's coming from, though, about, like, what's going on here? Like, I get it. You know, plates are shaking.
Yeah.
Go to Jeff in Grand Island. Jeff, how you doing today? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hi, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it quick. The Sabres, you know, they're in a transition period. You know, we have Lindy Ruff back, you know, ex-Saber, all that. But how many coaches did the Sabres go through in the last 13 years? What, 2, 3? And then I'll go back to Bills real quick. If our defense, I don't understand. Sean McDermott is a defensive coordinator with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. I mean, I was like, what, a teenager maybe? I just don't understand. Most teams, when you score 42, you're winning. They get beat by 44-2. I'm just confused. Help me out. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Of course, Jeff. That's what we're here to do, is we're here to help you out. The Rams are good. They are a talented team, but they were slept on
all season.
As Nate said it earlier in the week, they're a thin team. Mm-hmm. And what happened at the start of the Rams season? Injuries.
Yep.
So when they started slow, it was because they didn't have the entire foursome of Stafford, Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. They mm-hmm. didn't have all four of those players at that point to start the year. Now that they're all back together.
And they're all 100% healthy.
What is their record in the last 9 games?
7-2.
You're right.
7-2.
They're 7-2. They're a good football team. As a matter of fact, I need the NFC to hold their own, keep the Rams out of the playoffs.
Yeah, because if they get into the playoffs, they're the most, in my opinion, they're one of the, minus the Lions, most dangerous team.
They are one of the most dangerous teams, yes. And they're currently sitting outside of a spot.
Yeah, and they're hungry to get in. You saw how hungry they were the way they played. Puka Nacua, I've never really watched a Rams game because the Bills, last time they played the Rams, Nacua was not on the team, or not maybe not playing. Puka Nacua is a generational wide, like the way he played in that game, if he continues that, like that's phenomenal play.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like Cooper Kupp's phenomenal, but to have another guy in Puka Nacua who's that big, that fast, and that good on these contested catches and dragging the toes, keeping everything in bounds, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And having an X factor like that on your team makes the difference. And Matt Stafford is Matt Stafford.
He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to get in the Hall.
Yes, and that's the thing you have to kind of look at, and why Detroit's offense, minus Sonic and Knuckles back there, doesn't scare me as much. Yeah, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jared Goff is good, but I think if you get pressure in his face, he's not gonna scramble. He falls to pressure.
Yes,
and
the problem is the Lions' offensive line is so good.
It is, but you know who's going to have a big week.
The defensive line's going to have to get results,
and it's going to have to be the middle. It's going to have to be a big ad game. He's going to have to make up atone for the down year, I guess. I mean, by all accounts,
got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and I think this could be a huge Ed Oliver game. Could be big.
We got to go to break. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here. Mike, stay on hold. We'll get back to you once we open up calls again at the noon hour, or you can call back then as well. 803-0550 is the number to call here. Everything's on fire. This is Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Remember how I said, the more things change, the more they stay the same?
Yes.
Evan played the Ohio, the Boneless Wings Open.
That he did.
And here on the Booty Cheek of the Week, we take a fantastic journey back.
Oh, we do.
To the wonderful borders of Ohio.
Wonderful in quotations.
No. This is truly wonderful. This is a gift that will keep on giving. This is a chef's kiss on sports that I will never forget to the end of my days.
A chef's kiss for the bone and boneless wings. Mwah. Yes.
As a matter of fact, whoever wrote this needs to have some boneless wings.
Okay.
Because, or they probably like the Ohio boneless wings that may or may not have a bone in them. That's probably their preference. So what am I talking about? What's going on here, Derek? What are you going on about nonsensically? It's this. Ohio State Representative Josh Williams introduced a bill on Tuesday that would classify flag planting at Ohio Stadium around Buckeyes football games as a felony.
Are you kidding me?
No, ready? The exact words that I just said.
Felony?
Think about the exact words that I just said.
Flag planting
at Ohio Stadium around Buckeyes football games. That is a specific term. That doesn't mean that I drive to Ohio, get to the state border, plant another team's flag, and then drive away and I get a felony.
No, I know that. Yeah.
This is Ohio State Buckeye football games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's at any other...
Sorely specific.
Yeah.
To a butthurt college program...
Right, not any professional franchise.
...did not win a title game in their conference.
Right.
Or have the opportunity to lose to Oregon in the conference.
Right,
game.
And still can't beat Michigan.
I'm sorry, but this is something... This is the Sabres fan talking in me now. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to learn how to lose.
Yeah.
Like, as a Bills and Sabres fan, everyone around the country, around the world, needs to learn how to lose appropriately. This is not just 10-ply Charmin soft. This is another level.
This is where the participation trophies have come into ruined society. No one knows how to lose anymore.
I will say that. Nobody's learned how to smack talk properly.
Nope.
Nobody's learned how to lose properly at this point.
No one can smack talk to faces now.
We need a soft reset.
Hard reboot, actually.
Yeah, maybe.
I think we need
I'm going to hold the
power button down for 10 seconds and shut this puppy down for a little bit.
Here I am
back.
Saying soft reset, and you're just like, nah, we got to shut this whole thing down, start all over
again. I'm sorry. I'm rereading this whole boneless wing thing, too. It's just like they denied him a jury trial after suffering major injuries, including several surgeries and two medically induced comas because the bone in the boneless wing went through his throat.
Ouch. That one hurts. But like the Ohio Sportsmanship Act that is authored
by
Williams.
That's what it's called?
Yes.
According, they're sore losers, if
anybody. According to Williams' bill, no person should shall plant a flagpole with a flag attached to it at the center of a football field at Ohio Stadium of the Ohio State University. Oh my God, there's the Ohio State University.
No.
On the day of a college football competition, whether before, during, or after the competition, whoever violates this section is guilty of a felony of the fifth degree.
We need a wall thing up here. Eternal booty cheeks, that's up there. That is the worst.
Josh Williams.
Oh my God.
Representative of Ohio.
That's what we're worrying about? Flag planting in a college stadium?
I hate using this word as an argument, but it's going to be used here.
Cope?
Josh Williams. Cope harder.
Your least favorite word.
Please cope harder. It's a college football game. It ain't that tough. It ain't that complex. It is a college football game. Yeah. And ready? This goes to the team as well. Ohio State Buckeyes, you're also booty cheek of the week. Because I'm sorry, the fact that you're fighting about a flag being planted means that you're soft. Guess what's going to happen if Tennessee beats you in the college football playoff? The same damn thing.
Yes. You've invited that now.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Hilariously.
Because of that poor attitude and poor sportsmanship. It's funny they're calling it the sportsmanship bill because it's not Michigan's poor sportsmanship. Sorry, that's just a college.
I saw the replay of the flag planting and like the reaction to it. Several Ohio State players were like at their own 20 at this point when the flag's getting planted in midfield and they storm on back.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Learn how to lose.
Go to the locker room.
Go to the locker room. Guess what? You have a future in the college football playoff that was called into question because you lost to Michigan. Don't lose as double-digit favorites to a team that was inferior to you.
Right. An unranked Michigan team, the worst it's been in a while. And you lose to them. You can't find a way to win, and you're still just soft and can't deal
with
that.
So the Ohio State Buckeyes and Representative Josh Williams, you are.
You're joining the ranks of the bone-in, boneless wing.
And you are absolutely the booty cheek of the week. We'll come back here, talk more Bills, talk some Sabres, talk about whatever you need to. We had to make fun of Ohio State here. Let's get back to reality coming back next year on WGR.